This movie.
All right. Casanova Frankenstein.
Ah, yes.
Captain Amazing, come to die.
I want to see the baby.
Welcome to The Pat Gave, a show where we talk all about superheroes, pop culture, nostalgic movies like the one we saw today. It was a pleasure, wasn't it, Moody?
Okay. Disclaimer, I fell asleep watching this movie two nights ago.
It's a two-parter.
Yeah, and so we woke up this morning and we finished it.
Yes, we finished Mystery Men from 1999.
Yes, what a year.
It was glorious. So I grew up with this movie. I loved this movie.
My parents would never let me watch this movie.
It was it's kid-friendly, right?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it was not as bad as some movies.
There was no curse words.
At
there was
all?
No nudity.
They said ass.
I mean, that was one of those curse words you'd laugh at as a kid.
You're right.
But yeah, I thought, even Ben Stiller in an interview goes, I want to make a movie my kids can see.
Yeah, it appears that like the whole goal overall with this movie was make these superheroes as relatable to like everyone possible. So like their insecurities were like,
do I matter in the world? Like, they're just the everyman story.
Yeah. And everyman is in, they really, none of them have superpowers. Well, a few of them do.
Yeah, we got three with, I would say three of them have real superpowers.
Right. The bowler.
Yes.
The spleen. And Invisible Boy.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, too. And then the villain, no?
No, he's just more of a mad scientist.
He likes disco.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming he created all those contraptions at his place, so he's a mad scientist.
Okay. Because
he is Casanova Frankenstein.
Right.
So Frankenstein's in the name.
And I was assuming that kind of, like, went hand in hand with, like, how their faces get all, like, warped and stuff.
Yeah, like a Frankenstein.
I guess.
Yeah.
Like, because the only way it would look like Frankenstein is if they sutured that back together. Or
yeah,
some shit.
Exactly. So this movie was peak 1999, like, goofy, over the top. It looked like they just used the set from Batman.
I wrote down as one of my first notes, this has to be by Joel Schumacher.
Sure.
And
so
it wasn't?
It wasn't. So it was by Kinka Usher.
Kinka Usher?
Yeah.
Who, if you go to his Wikipedia page, it literally says, films, commercials, also Mystery Men.
Yeah. So when I was watching the behind the scenes on this, they mentioned that, like, he brought us the Chihuahua from Taco Bell.
He brought
us a bunch of, like, they said in the back, in the behind the scenes, some of the funniest commercials we've seen growing up. And at the end of this, he said, he's quoted saying, I'm going back to my 1 minute little commercials because I'm sick of this nonsense.
Oh my God. Yeah. Were Mystery Men broke him?
Well, and you can kind of tell they improv a lot.
They did.
Right?
That was the thing. Like, I look at the cast list and I'm like, oh my God.
List them off for us.
Yeah. So Ben Stiller is Roy, Mr. Furious. Yeah. We got Hank Azaria. I mean, like, people know him from The Simpsons. He is the voice of so many.
The Blue Raja.
Yeah. Blue Raja. Yeah. Cheerio, mother.
We got William H. Macy.
Yes. Greg Kinnear is Lance Hunt, Captain Amazing. Kel Mitchell's Invisible Boy.
Yeah, Keenan and Kel.
I know you are, but what am I? Paul Rubens as
the spleen.
Yes.
You want to know my powers? Pull my finger.
Yeah, so good. That's actually a great impression.
Thank you. Flatulence as a superpower.
Janine Garofalo. I was excited to find out, like, she is a character in Titan A.E., which I know we're going to be doing on the show at some point.
Yeah.
She was also in Wet Hot American Summer, and she was an SNL cast member.
Oh, okay.
So Saturday Night Live.
And I heard she said no to this initially until she saw that William H. Macy and Pee Wee Herman had signed on. Yeah. So she was like, okay,
it must be good.
Yeah. And, you know, it got a 66 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
And, you know, a 6.7 on IMDb.
Yeah, and no, I saw the general, like, reaction to it when it came out was, like,
positive, right?
And it did bomb in the box office.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was like, I can pull it up here.
That was my next question.
Was the numbers?
The box office.
Yeah, so I want to say it was, like, a $67 million budget is what I
saw. Yeah, it looked like a lot of money was put in behind this. Not only the actors, but the sets, the visual effects. They don't age very well, but I think a lot of this stuff looked like it was done practical.
No, yeah, I mean, it was like watching Scooby-Doo, the live action, with a Batman Forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there was one other one that I, like, wrote down, or maybe I didn't write down, but it just, like, the tone was dark, so it had that, like, dark Gotham-y
but
feel.
Absolutely cartoon brought to life. Greg Kinnear, he said in the behind the scenes, he's like, if I were to describe this movie, it's a cartoon come to life that goes horribly wrong. And he seemed a little, like, he didn't seem very excited for the behind the scenes interviews. All he had to say was like no good things about his fellow cast members or how funny the script was. No, just how much he hated the Captain Amazing suit.
I'm sure.
Which was kind of cool because it had, well, not cool, but funny. He had sponsorships all over.
Oh, yeah. And I wrote those down too. Those are the sponsors that he had.
Yeah.
He gets, Pennzoil, like a NASCAR.
Yeah.
Pepsi, Reebok, Rayovac, and Gum Out were the ones that I noticed.
And he gets pissed because Pepsi drops him as a sponsor.
He rips it off and just throws it aside.
So,
budget.
Box office, yeah.
So this opening weekend, $10 million. Like sixth at the domestic box office.
Okay.
And it did not do well because the Blair Witch Project came out the same weekend,
I guess. Which probably had a budget of like $400.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
Yeah, that's
great.
No, it's a bummer, but I am so glad it did get made.
It exists. Yeah. That's what I was going to say, too. Like, watching this movie, it just brings me back to like in the 90s, and I think in the early 2000s, they started taking the special effects more seriously, so they weren't really paying their actors. But if you go back a little bit before that, what special effects they had plus like good actors, if the concept was like weird, we still get this item on a good actor's resume.
Yes.
And I love those weird entries because then you're like, oh, I gotta deep dive this. What was this?
Yeah.
Oh, I could have left this one out.
Right.
Yeah, like I never needed to know that William H. Macy did a movie like this, Ben Still. Like they all have like kind of kooky
credits. These are you know, this is the first movie I've seen these people in.
Ever.
I mean, it was 1999.
So you would have been like 6, 7.
Yeah. And so, I mean, Ben Stiller, I can't think of another one before this. This was
Heavyweights. Heavyweights is my first one. He's the bad guy counselor.
I must have seen that around the same time.
Yeah.
But also, this is the first time I heard All Star from Smash Mouth.
Oh, and see, for me, it was Shrek. And I'm sure a lot of other people associate All Star with Shrek.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting to like.
Yeah.
And it was weird because in the movie, they play it like twice. They play it when they're doing that like ceremony.
Quick montage.
And it was like not the famous part of it.
It was just the first 8 bars.
Yes. Yeah. And then they play it again at the end, and I was like, oh, here we go.
You know, and what's wild about this, thinking about the director being a commercial guy, he's so used to 1 minute videos.
Yeah.
But he made a 2 hour movie.
Yeah, that's got to be exhausting.
And I think it's because he wanted all these funny things and all these great ideas. You can't have them all. Mm-hmm. Right? You want to explore every concept in this world, but you have to make a movie like this an hour and 30.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's why I fell asleep. Not because, like, I was entertained and I kept making, like, the what the hell?
Yeah.
It felt like, you know, I'm watching, like, Austin Powers or, like, just like a parody movie.
True parody.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, I love superheroes, maybe not as much as you, Patrick.
Definitely not.
I love seeing, like, funny ones done, like, in a. I don't know. Like,
well, they did
parody.
Yeah, they did up some of the classic tropes for superhero stuff. You know, Ben Stiller, like, you're not going to like me when I'm angry.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Oh,
you know, that you can kind of recognize from other stories.
Like, the entire beginning scene feels similar to the ice skating bad guy scene in Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Like the, what are they called? The Red Eyes?
Yeah, the Red Eyes.
Yeah, which I did it again. I thought the leader of the Red Eyes was Fat Ass from Shawshank Redemption. Not him.
I remember you saying, oh my God. And
yeah.
I'm like, what actor does he think that is?
Yep. Every time.
Yeah. Every time. And they're in a nursing home.
Yeah.
And it's very quirky because
that was a nursing home.
Even this nursing home, they treated it like a club. In the behind the scenes.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell is this dance scene?
They're taking, they're doing shots of Pepto-Bismol. The bar is like an actual like physician with a pharmacy bar. Like they kind of just really took up the craziness in this movie.
Yeah.
For instance, the Blue Raja. He throws forks.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Hank Azaria. I think of all the characters to not be embarrassed by their role in this movie, he should, like, be...
Him and the Shoveler. I think...
Shoveler was great, too.
These are two people that use basic household items as their weapons. You know, forks and shovels.
Shovels. Yeah. Forks, spoons. I mean, he at one point is like, oh, I should have brought the pie cutter, the large pie cutter.
Well, and then even the Shoveler goes, it'd be great if you used a knife every once in a while. And he's like, I'm not knife boy. I'm the Blue Raja. I don't murder.
Master of civilware.
Yeah. So it was pretty funny. Like, I had a good time with this movie.
Yeah.
Really only because
nostalgia.
The nostalgia. But then you could clearly tell when it picked up. Got the whole team together. They're finally done bickering, and it's time for a suit-up montage.
Yes.
It started getting pretty funny.
And now, speaking of montages, one of my favorite parts in this movie was when they're having auditions. Oh, they're having auditions, and we get to see Dane Cook
as the Waffler.
The Waffler.
Yeah.
There was a couple other famous guys in that scene. What's his name? Doug Jones. Doug Jones is Billy Butcherson from Hocus Pocus. He's like the mummy with his lips shut.
Oh, yeah,
He plays all of the creepiest, like, characters in every movie, like horror films.
Maybe,
is that
because of his body movements are so weird?
I think it's his height, how skinny he is.
Oh, sure.
I mean, let's just grab Doug Jones for a sec.
While you grab Doug Jones for a sec, I'm going to talk about another weird-ass cameo we had in this film.
Oh.
Michael Bay.
Yeah, what? I know.
So he's one of the frat boys.
Yeah, he must have been on set directing. They're like, hey, you want to come in for a second?
Yeah, and they gave him a line. They gave him one line that was, you know, he's going to take him on a tour of the house. And he's like, can we bring the bruise? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, yeah. I was going to say some other cameos we had.
Oh, yeah.
CeeLo Green.
Yeah.
With his
Goody.
Ragtag group of rappers. What were they
Goody
called?
Goody Mob.
Goody Mob was in this movie.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. CeeLo Green, Cujo, Timo, and Big Gip.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know any of their songs.
I mean, we just know CeeLo.
We know CeeLo.
But in the movie, they're called the Not-So-Goody Mob.
The Not-So-Goody Mob.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great.
Tryouts.
Corbin Bleu is one of the sons of the Shoveler. I think he's the littlest.
No
one.
Way.
Yeah, so good.
This is probably the best movie he's done.
Maybe. Yeah, not Chad Danforth, which side
no,
note.
I character. Am a huge High School Musical fan, so.
Oh, man. I had to do that show 18 times. And I
were you Troy Bolton?
I was Chad Danforth. I was his friend. I was Corbin Bleu.
You were Corbin Bleu.
My first line was, yo, doggy, Troy my hoops boy. Can't make this up.
Bro, I need to see video of that.
Oh, it's there. It's somewhere in my parents.
There wasn't any black kids that auditioned.
No. you know, I think they were all like, we're not doing this. We're not touching this guy.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Rush did look like James Woods for a sec.
You sure about that?
Okay, we can get off this topic. I love William H. Macy's sincerity in everything that he's in.
Yeah.
Have you seen Wild Hogs?
Yes.
The motorcycle movie?
Yeah.
He plays like the geeky guy.
A similar role.
Yeah,
right?
Gets an Apple Mac tattoo.
Yeah.
Like rainbow Apple. I mean, he's also in Cellular with Chris Evans.
Okay.
Every character he plays, I don't really care for Shameless because I don't want to like cringe every minute of every hour of every day.
Yeah.
But I respect that like lead role in a series, there's a reason why.
It's what he's most famous for.
Yeah. I've always respected him as like being the nerdy goofball.
Sure.
And same in this movie, like just the sincerity of like, honey, I may not be coming home tonight.
Yeah.
I've got a world to save.
Yeah. And my favorite part was like most of their people in their lives thought they were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to divorce you if you keep going out and doing this. And at the very end, it's like, you know what? There might not be a home to come home to if I don't go. And then, of course, you get the payoff at the end.
What was the Lady Luck line?
We got a blind date with Lady Destiny, and she's ordered the lobster.
Is that just a fart joke? Is that
no,
like she's
do you,
gonna
do you not
sick?
Get it?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. So, like, have you ever been on a date where someone orders a very expensive, probably the most expensive thing on the meal, and you met them for the first time?
Oh, man.
Okay, so for...
I hate this Lady Luck already.
Yeah, so he's saying, this is going to be quite the experience, and we've already been dealt a bad hand. Like, we got a blind date, and she's already ordered the lobster.
Is that a thing people say, or did that
Back then, I mean, that's not
the
a...
lobster?
No, okay, that's just
lady
a
luck.
Funny...
Luck
like,
be a lady tonight.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
I thought that line was genius.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring it back.
It's pretty good.
So what do you think of Casanova? He really is chewing up the scenery, huh?
Yeah, Jeffrey Rush, to me, I mean, he is just key in playing a bad guy.
Well, he's having fun.
Yeah.
You could tell.
Every single scene in this movie felt like a cut to Batman Forever.
Yeah.
Like, there is the parole hearing, and he's sitting in the chair being evaluated by these people.
Yep.
And Lance Hunt, Captain Amazing, shows up, and he's like, you know, he's got this brilliant idea. I'm going to let out my mortal enemy out of prison so that we can have another battle to, like, raise my stature.
Yeah, he wants his Pepsi sponsorship back.
Yeah. Well, Pepsi is the reason.
And what's funny, Pepsi is the reason. Just stop right there.
Period.
For everything. That was kind of funny with Lance and his Clark Kent persona was Lance Hunt.
Yeah.
And it was strictly just the glasses. Like, didn't try to change anything.
Yeah, that can't be him.
Yeah.
He doesn't wear glasses. He couldn't see.
And the Shoveler is explaining to Ben Stiller, like, it doesn't make sense. He couldn't see without his glasses. That can't be the same person.
Yeah, blind faith in superhero tropes.
Yeah.
I love it. I think I didn't take for granted this character, but I just keep forgetting about him, is Wes Studi playing the Sphinx.
Oh, yeah.
He's
like the spiritual leader.
Yes. If you doubt your powers, then your powers will have doubt. Or like,
yeah,
like
everything he said.
Just a conundrum.
Yeah.
A pure conundrum of everything. Tony P and Tony C. The Disco Boys.
Yes. Well, they're his lead henchmen. Casanova's lead henchmen.
Uh-huh.
And what's funny about that is, like, he gets really mad that Disco has died.
Yeah.
So when Casanova comes up, he's like, oh, I've heard Disco is dead. And he's like, it's not. It's not dead.
Been 84
it's
years.
Been 84 years.
So everything comes back around.
Yeah, I hope not. I don't know.
You want to hear some trivia?
Yeah, please. Okay. I was trying to find some, and I didn't have a lot of time.
So Tom Waits has some odd hand gestures
during
his lines, because he was supposed to say these crazy made-up words for all these tools.
Oh, the gadgets.
The gadgets. So he had a hard time saying them on set, so the director goes, write them on your damn hand. I don't care. So, like, some of the words, like, they're really hard to say, so he had them written on his fingers. And throughout his scenes, you can see him looking at certain parts, which are just notes of the words he's supposed to say.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice that.
No, I mean, and I think it worked really well.
Yeah.
The spleen. You remember when there was like a fart explosion behind him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an accident. One of the crew members threw a Bic lighter into one of the barrels that was on fire.
Fired.
And yeah, well, luckily he had the improv skills to be like, excuse me. So this is just a random little line. You know the publicist that Ricky Jays, the character that plays Captain Amazing's publicist.
Oh, yeah.
In the limo, he goes, I'm a publicist, not a magician. He's actually a well-known magician.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Well, and then I also saw that the director played a character named Mo.
In the movie?
Yeah. Who's Mo?
I don't know. I just read that. Director cameo. Mo.
Yeah, I don't. I'm out.
About. But you could just tell they were like improvising, having a good time. One of the people say, you know, sometimes filming a movie can be hard without a script. Like, kind of taking a stab at the director or the writers.
I really want to know how they came up with the characters. Like, Captain Amazing seems like...
That's a no-brainer.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It felt like he was basically evil Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, well, he had
warped,
a jetpack.
Sponsored
and I'm guessing he had super strength because he was hitting people off like nothing.
Yes.
And then he had a jetpack. So I think he was just good at this whole superhero business.
To the point where it was kind of like The Boys a little bit.
Yeah.
Like where
he had a publicist.
He had a publicist. He's more concerned about his
sponsorship. Yeah.
The money that he could be making.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was like pretty clear. The other ones, how did they come, like,
the other
Mr.
Superpowers.
Furious is like the Hulk, like, but he can't do anything.
Well, yeah, it's like, I think they're probably sitting around a table and be like, what if there's a guy just with anger issues, but he doesn't have strength, just super angry?
Yeah.
And then you got, you know, what's a household item? You know, the shovel, maybe a guy that throws forks.
I don't know how he came up with that. That's so strange.
That was awesome. Because I actually, as a kid, tried to start throwing forks.
Oh, you copied.
Oh, everything I saw. I took my shovel, threw on my catcher's gear.
Oh, my God. Your parents
absolutely
had nightmares for a few weeks after this film.
Absolutely. So, Booty, what was the overall vibe you got? Like, was it fun? Did you enjoy yourself? Is it more of a, I don't have to watch this ever again?
Yeah, I will say. So, like we said... We said Batman Forever mixed with Scooby-Doo live action.
Yeah, and maybe a little Pee-wee Herman's.
And we're going to Dana Carvey, Master of Disguise.
Master of Disguise.
That's also in the realm of this film.
Yeah, so over-the-top goofy with surprisingly good actors in it.
Yes.
So, Booty, what is your Casanova Frankenbooty score?
Oh, man, this is below par.
No.
I mean, I feel like I crucified
presidents of the dates with daughters.
Yeah. This has got to be below that. I can't remember what I gave it. I think it was like a 4.3 or something.
Sure.
This is going to be a 2.8.
2.8?
Yeah.
Out of 10.
You guys don't need to watch this movie unless it's pure nostalgia.
I'm going
to
stop you right there. Watch this damn movie. I had a blast. Yeah. I mean, clearly, I've seen it before, and I was even hitting your arm like, wait for it. Fart joke, you know, stuff like that. So I had fun, and on my fun meter, rewatching this, 8.2 out of 10. Yeah.
Patrick and Alex's views are different.
Yeah, very different.
No, I had a good time.
Yeah.
But I don't think it survives without nostalgia.
Well, I could show this to my kids around 10 years old kind of phase.
Yeah.
Where I can watch it with them, laugh about superhero stuff.
But really, it's going to be after you've shown them like an amazing superhero movie, right? And then you're like, oh, like as a joke, hey guys, check out this great superhero movie.
Yeah, and I don't know if kids have the concepts yet of being like, oh, this was made before this one.
Oh, yeah, so
it
true.
It just looks different, so it just might be different. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's like if you watch Star Wars in order and then you're suddenly at episode 4 from 1977, you're like, wait a second.
Yeah, I don't think a kid...
Why does that space rock look like a potato?
Right? Well, I'm thank you for going on this journey with me.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah, because...
Never again.
Because I, my whole family, we loved watching this movie together.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's definitely inspired some directors to never direct again.
Oh, yeah.
And
did we talk about that at all?
Yeah,
he
went back to commercials.
Okay, I crossed it off the notes.
Yeah. Well, that was the Pat Cave Mystery Men review, everyone. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Make sure to throw something down in the comments. What was one of your favorite nostalgic superhero movies growing up?
Yeah.
What was yours, Booty?
Nostalgic superhero movie?
Around this time. I'm thinking Batman Forever for you, right?
Yeah, that was my first introduction to a superhero.
You love Val Kilmer.
I love Val Kilmer.
There's posters in your room.
No, there's not. But there can be.
Well, make sure to like, subscribe, share with your local nerds, and that does it.
I love you, Val Kilmer.
Val, he's our man. If he can't do it, George
Clooney. Ask someone else.
George Clooney can.